This is A View from the Bridge, unofficial podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of November, 2013, and my name is Patrick Smith. Packed show for you today, guys. We've got Belfast Giants coach Paul Eddy coming on the show to talk about last weekend in Scotland, this long road trip that we're having and the effect that it's having on the team. We also have Belfast Giants fan and listener Joel Neal join us also to talk about how the Giants got on in Edinburgh and in Fife. Well worth a listen to that. We look across the league to what happened in the world's biggest hockey rivalry in Sheffield and Nottingham. Rob Farmer is a topic of discussion. The Brayhead clan come up in our chat. And we'll also be answering your Twitter questions that you post to our Twitter account at AVFTB. But you can also get in touch with us if you want to podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Or you can go to the website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. And the road trip goes on and on and on. We knew there'd be highs, we knew there'd be lows, and there's plenty to talk about with regards to both highs and lows. But joining me as always, first of all, Mr. David McGimsey. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Patrick Smythe.
Seimth, I think, is as it's been put now.
Seimth,
as the Germans put it this week. And the and also a man who was apoplectic with rage this weekend, and we've hoped that he's channeled that out of him. It's Mr. Neil, the coach, Russell. How are you, sir?
Evening, Patrick.
And there were two games this weekend, both of which in Scotland, but a rare occasion when the three of us don't get to see any sort of footage of hockey. So we've brought in a man that did, Mr. Joel Neal. How are you?
Evening, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, mate. No worries. You made the road trip. I think you're making all the road trips this month, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think like a lot of other people at the start of the season, I looked at the fixtures list and saw the great big gap in kind of November, early December, and decided to extend the overdraft and just go for it, you know?
Ah, nice work. So that means you made the trip over on Saturday for Edinburgh and then the short trip to that cauldron in Kirkcaldy. Let's start with the game at Edinburgh. Really not what anybody expected. Okay, we know that the Nottingham Panthers were a big scalp for the Edinburgh Capitals, but they were maybe a little bit short benched. But for the Giants to go down 5-3 at Murrayfield, as good as the Edinburgh Capitals can be at times, is still a big shock. How was the game?
I sat after the game kind of trying to take stock, and really the only thing you can do is try and look at the positives, and the only one that I really have is that Chevy scored a natural hat trick. Apart from that, there really wasn't an awful lot to take away from the game. Very, very frustrating. I laughed at for saying this, but the system that Edinburgh played, I felt like I was back in Nanshut watching the Giants play the Cannibals. Very European team, very non-forecheck in style. I think we saw it to a lesser extent in Nanshut. We took a lot of silly penalties. We tried to be physical. They frustrated us, and they sat back and took their chances. I think that happened all over again.
Coach, you were one of very, very vocal about this, about the difference in resource between these two teams, and I think you were the one that said that this shouldn't happen. Do you still feel like that, Coach?
I do, just purely on the basis of looking at the two rosters, Paddy, because you know if you look at the two rosters, there's just no comparison in terms of AHL experience, some NHL experience. You know, any guys that were maybe playing the East Coast League, these guys are all playing at the top end. And, you know, the Edinburgh guys, you know, they have obviously some talent in there. You know, the likes of Hartman, Liam Weber, very impressive players, guys who can put the puck in the back of the net. The one guy that really impressed me in the first game of the season at the Odyssey was Hadlovsky, the new goaltender. And like he blanked us out for the first kind of couple of periods, I think it was, at the Odyssey. You know, and I knew we were, you know, up against a good goaltender. But I'm afraid, you know I went off on a bit of a rant on Saturday night about it, but there's just no, I know I did. I was really angry about it because it was, in my opinion, it was such a missed opportunity from the Giants, you know, to capitalize on the Panthers. And, you know, first playing 10th, there's no comparison for me between the two teams. And those are the types of venues that we should be going to and winning every single game, in my opinion.
Is Hadlovsky new? I thought he was there last season.
Was he? Was he?
I thought he was.
Yes, he was.
Sorry, well, I apologise.
Joel, defensively, how did we look? Because it looked like, you look at the amount of shots on goal, especially early on, it didn't look great, especially for how well Stephen Murphy was playing.
No, defensively, to be honest, we looked shaky. And I think it was more in the neutral zone, trying to put puck tape to tape. It just wasn't happening. Really chubby, frustrating game. I think just to go back to a point Coach made there, I understand what you're saying. I agree. And it sounds strange, but if there was a perfect time to lose a game, I think that was maybe it. I mean, if you look at the fact we gave points to a team that isn't really a direct threat, you know, Nottingham and Sheffield both dropped points last week on the road, and Nottingham had their horror weekend in Scotland, almost as much like ourselves. The Nottingham-Sheffield then went on this weekend, split the points in a doubleheader. So, I mean, my fallen sky shelter is currently uninhabited. I'm not going to run to it just yet with four regulation losses, the one shootout loss. I mean, I think with a month on the road, you're going to draw points like this. I don't think you can really justify it, but it's going to happen.
I agree with that. I agree with the sentiment about the world falling in type thing and what have you. I fully agree with that. And any fan that gets on like that needs their head read. But, you know, from my point of view, like you talked there about the physical aspect of the game, and we were maybe getting called for, you know, maybe over physical play. You know, what type of calls were being made there? Because, you know, this is a more physical league, you know, and you talked about the Edinburgh Capitals being more of a European type team, but yet the referees should be well used to the physical aspect, the Darryl Lloyds, the Keefs, guys who are going Suezes, these guys who are all going to finish their checks and kind of, you know, eye of the tiger in these guys' faces. What was the difference Saturday night? Was it poor officiating on certain calls, or what was it?
I try not to go back to the old referee blame game. I try not to use Mike Hicks' name in vain or anything like that. But the refereeing team on Saturday, I feel sometimes in the Elite League, I think referees call penalties in a circumstantial basis as opposed to the rule book. I think Scottish games are notoriously less physical, and certain hits and certain things that were happening in that game I think would have gone completely unchecked against, say, the Panthers, the Steelers and the Blaze, and I think that did honestly cost us. But obviously then we couldn't kill a penalty. Our power play was completely neutral, you know. That didn't help, but the calls definitely weren't helping, and I think they would have actually been let slide, say, in the Sky Dome on a hot night, you know.
But that was the other thing that really enraged me, because our penalty, you know, Murph and I on the commentary for Giants Live have said it all season long about how brilliant our penalty kill has been this season, but yet we gave up five power play goals. It must have been that great, obviously, on Saturday night.
No, I just for some reason it wasn't clicking. There's obviously injuries to take into account. I know guys are playing knocked, and guys that maybe aren't fully injured, I think, are a little bit battle weary just from being on the road. But I sound like I'm sitting here under the kind of employment of the Giants making excuses, and that's not really the way it is. I'm just trying to kind of find reason myself, because as Paddy said at the start there, nobody really expected it.
What do you think? What was the incident that happened with Darryl Lloyd? We know he didn't play on Friday. It was on Sunday, sorry, against Fife, and it was due to an incident in Edinburgh. He was stretchered off?
Wasn't stretchered off. He got off under his own strength. It seemed fairly innocuous. It seemed to be that he took some sort of knock on the knee. It wasn't really massively spectacular. It just seemed to be a bad twist. I mean, kind of touching on the injuries, from seeing Darryl over the weekend, just coming and going off the buses into the rinks, from a fan's perspective, I would be more worried, I think, about Jeff Mason. Mace seems to be a lot more knocked up than Darryl. I think Lloyd will probably get a scan. We'll probably be back in a few weeks. Seems like one of those, like a bit of a stinger, but nothing too serious. I think Mason, it could be a little bit long term, if you're asking for my humble opinion.
Well, your opinion sucks, Paddy. Tell him the good news, Paddy.
Well, we'll hear it later on from the actual interview that with Paul Eddy.
But I will very happily be proven wrong on any of his points.
It sounds like Jeff Mason will be back within a week, back this weekend, and that Darryl Lloyd will be out for a couple of weeks. I think he was taken out of the game. Well, here the interview will be later in the podcast, but Paul Eddy says that the withdrawing Mason from the game against Fife was more precautionary than anything else.
Can I jump in there, Paddy, and ask Joel a question? Three of the goals we give up in Edinburgh at the weekend were obviously on the power play. Twice when Calvin Elfring was in the box serving a penalty, and once when Cody Brookwell, obviously our top two penalty killers. How crucial do you think it was that, you know, our secondary penalty killing unit, Jeff Mason, hurt Robbie Sandrock, Davey Phillips, then maybe, you know, how crucial was it that those penalties are actually against our top D-men? You know, how crucial was that to the Caps getting those three goals?
I guess it's gone fairly untested so far, and that was the test. It may have exposed kind of a couple of holes there. I don't honestly know. It was one of those nights, much like the Coventry game in the Odyssey, where I just felt as an all-around package, the team did not click with each other whatsoever. Whatever reasons for that, I'm not sure.
Do you put that down to complacency? And that was something that, you know, I've waxed lyrical about this team in particular, and kind of this team since Doug Christensen took over and brought in the likes of Daryl Loig and Adam Keefe, guys who have got real character and grit, and, you know, they went under the hashtag of the Road Warriors. You know, I love this team, and they, when they go away, they often perform even more, even better on the road than they do maybe at home on occasions. And do you think there was an element of complacency there?
I don't know that complacency is the right word. I think as a sports team, it's maybe difficult to buoy yourself up for a game like that. This weekend had been written off, I think, a long time ago by everyone, really. It was half of it was dead rubber, the Fife game especially. We were expecting to waltz in against the Murrayfield, take the 2 points and really coast the next night, get the local guys on. Complacency, maybe not the right word. I think it's difficult in the psychology of a sports team to get yourself as stoked for that as, say, Panthers at the Odyssey or on the road to Sheffield, whatever else.
Maybe that's something that Edinburgh have been capitalising on with regards to the likes of the Panthers coming in and doing that, like they did when they went to Ice Sheffield and took it off. I think it was that last season, 2 points off Ice Sheffield and 2 points off the Panthers at the NIC.
Right.
You know, that's exactly the sort of thing that they try to portray. Well, not try to portray, but try to capitalise on if teams do that. Davey, quick question to yourself. How did you enjoy the game?
Paddy, once again, an absolute disaster on a webcast. I tweeted the Caps webcast before the game to tell them I only had an iPad available to me and could have watched the game on the iPad. He was back really, really quick. Yes, of course you can. You can use VLC player. Spot on, mate. I'll pay it. But if it doesn't work, I want me £8 back. Tell you what, when it didn't work and I was tweeting him back and I've emailed him, he's disappeared quicker than Bin Laden with SEAL Team 6 coming after him. He hasn't replied to my tweets, he hasn't replied to my emails, and basically they've stolen £8 of my cash, and I will be emailing him every day until I get the £8 back. An absolute disgrace. I want my money back.
David, you're married to a paediatric cardiologist. You're loaded. Catch yourself on. Ask him to give the
£8. Just throw pound coins out my window. It's an absolute disgrace. Village organisation up there in Edinburgh.
Here.
They're getting no more money off me. It's a disgrace.
That's something the coach has been saying all weekend in regards to their approach, especially with considering the next night that they, due to an administrative error, they lost one of their top D-men in Dobrin by not putting them on the team sheet.
Village.
Well, I'm going to back up Jock Haylor. You know, the man's a legend in Scottish hockey. He's been there for a lot of years. He's made a mistake. It's an admin error. Yes, it looks bad. It looks bad for the league because checks and balances should have been in place. But, you know, I think that man has earned a bye ball this time.
It's happened to us. It'll happen to another team, I'm sure. Joe, the next night, like you say, you mentioned it earlier, mate, it was a bit of a dead rubber. We are playing for Challenge Cup positions, but we're already through to the quarterfinals. It was a quick start for the Belfast Giants with a goal after only 10 seconds and a 5-1 win overall.
Yeah, again, it was a weekend of just polar opposites. We went into Kirkcaldy that night kind of expecting a fairly dull game, expecting the local guys to get a run out and nobody really take too many risks. But it ended up being just 3 periods of really enjoyable hockey to watch. I mean, obviously, Brooke Will's goal after 10 seconds is the kind of dream start. It rocks the home team. And we just got right back into it. It just seemed to click again. And it was the kind of forechecking physical Giants that we're used to this season. I think that the team you're playing, again, just to contrast it to the Capitals, you've guys like Nickerson and Unreal, kind of heavy-hitting guys that aren't scared to go to the corners and kind of challenge. And I think we kind of thrive in that environment, especially the kind of environment in Kirkcaldy. It's a great rink to watch hockey in.
Yeah, do you enjoy it? I know we spoke at the Sheffield game, and I was saying to you to prepare yourself because it does become a bit of a cauldron.
It was a freezing cauldron, to be honest, but I enjoyed every second, to be honest. To me, that's what hockey should be. I grew up kind of following local football and that atmosphere, and I really thrive on that. It's so much more fun to watch.
See, you talked there about Nickerson. I was really surprised not to see him and Keefe go. Were there any at any stages where that was maybe a possibility or that having words at any stage?
It almost bubbled over, I think, kind of late into the second. But by that stage, I guess it is semi-dead rubber. We have a fairly comfortable lead. And I felt that the Coach Yeti was kind of using Kiefer sparingly on Sunday. He didn't seem to get just as many shifts as normal. I don't really see why he should go up against, frankly, a giant. I mean, he makes Cody Brookwell look small. I don't really see why he would rest the captain for a game like that, to be honest, with a comfortable lead.
And then towards the end of the game, Murphy was taken off and Dicko put on, and that was where the one goal was conceded.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just around that, the kind of headline for the game for me was just the Brits and how they played. Because of the injuries and because of the kind of game that it was, Paul Eddie was kind of rotating the lines quite a lot. You had a makeshift fourth line out there of Garside, Robbie Brown and Garth Roberts, and really, really fun to watch. I mean, the White Cotton's third goal was all Garth Roberts. He played it down the slot and fed it back to him. Just absolutely beautiful, really, really good. The Brits were fantastic. At one point, we actually had an all-Brit line bar Robbie Sandrock, and that's just fantastic to see. The team playing the system well, not struggling. And then, unfortunately, Murph played a great game. Dicko came on. To be honest, he got an unlucky rebound. The bell teller read today said that he conceded the only shot he faced. He took a slap shot from just forward of the point, I think. Rebounded it right out into the slot and was just unlucky to not get his hand up. I've seen it happen a million times with starting tendies. Really, really unlucky. It was probably the highlight of the weekend to see Dicko get his first shift of the season.
Davey, I'm going to come straight to you on this because you and me stood in Newcastle when Adam Cree was brought on and you weren't best pleased. In this situation, do you feel it's justified to bring on a backup netminder for at least to get some sort of ice time?
Yes, because I hadn't paid hundreds of pounds and wasted a weekend to get there. you know, what happened in Newcastle years ago, the game wasn't a dead rubber.
That's true.
There was points to be played for. There was jockeying and position and momentum to be played for coming on the weekend, coming into the playoffs. It looked like we were going to get Newcastle, and I think we did end up with them in the playoffs that year. And for me, and the sort of whole blasé approach of Ed Courtney to say, I had a bet going with Rob Wilson and all, I bet you can't score glove high side on him for a tenner and all. It was just embarrassing, and it was at a point in a game where the game wasn't even dead. Yeah. And we brought our netminder in. And, you know, for me, there was a lot of Belfast fans had spent a lot of money coming, and with no disrespect to our backup netminder on that occasion, he wasn't up to the task, although apparently he went to Salzburg Red Wings or something afterwards, you know. But, it just, Dicko, good for him to get a shift, and you're 5-0 up and you've 10 minutes left. Why not in a game that's Challenge Cup only? You know, it's not going to cost us in the overall scheme of things, and it's good for him to get some time in the ice. Yes.
Well, just to wrap up things then, in the 5-3 loss to Edinburgh, as Joel said, the scores were Evan Cheverey scored all three for Belfast, with Portwood, Horna, Holeko and two for Hartman were the Edinburgh scores. In the game against Fife, it was Brookwell, two for Surrett, Dustin Whitecotton, Colin Shields with another goal, and the goal scorer for Fife I didn't write down. So we'll move along.
Sorry, who do you want, Paddy?
Sorry?
What did you want?
Oh, the goal scorer for Fife.
Was Matt Reber.
Matt Reber, there we go.
I was just about to say that, I promise.
Well, thanks for joining us, Joel. We really appreciate you coming on. Where can people get you on Twitter?
At Joel Neal with two L's. Thanks for the cheap plug.
Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, Joel.
Guys. Thank you.
As we mentioned in that piece with Joel, we had an interview with Paul Eddy, and well, I actually started by asking Coach Eddy what he thought about the game at Edinburgh. Did he feel any frustration about losing? Did it come as an unexpected loss?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing good enough to beat teams, obviously, and we didn't play a bad game. I mean, it was 3-3 after two. We had only given up 10 shots, and we were dominating the game, and then we got into penalty trouble in the third. We had five consecutive minor penalties, and I mean, they scored a goal on fairly early in the period to go 4-3, and then it's like we had penalty after penalty after penalty for about 10 minutes. So we really couldn't. It's hard to get back into it. And then finally, when they got a call going our way, we put a lot of pressure on their net, and we just couldn't find a way to score. I mean, that was our story of the game, really, is with the amount of good scoring chances we had, quality chances, we just didn't put the puck in the net. And And some nights that happens. You got to give their goalie credit. He was good, and it just didn't happen for us on a night.
Does that frustrate you in any way, or does it anger you in any way, considering the relative difference in the strength of the squads? That maybe I don't mean to put it maybe as complacency or arrogance going in somewhere like that, but you know that a team of Edinburgh's strengths are able to take a win like that.
Well, I mean, I think Edinburgh are probably better than what people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have a bad game the next night. I think they only lost 4-2 to Dundee away. And I think they're going to win more games than what people think. And if you're right in a sense, if you think you can go in and play Edinburgh and it's going to be an easy game, it's not the case. I mean, if their goalie plays up to his top standard, then they're not an easy team to beat. And we experienced that, on Saturday. I can't be so frustrated in the sense that we were the better team and we created the majority of the chances. We just didn't finish our plays.
And then the next night, it was a Challenge Cup only game. And, of course, we've already qualified for the next round of the Challenge Cup. But this is more, I guess, for positioning. I went into Fife, and there was an early marker there and a great win.
Yeah, I mean, Brookwell took a great shot there just over the blue line between the D-man's legs, and it hit the corner of the net. It got us off to a good start. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at the standings, there's three teams. I think they could still finish first. And, that's the goal, obviously, for the three teams who were in a position to finish in first in the Challenge Cup group. So, I think probably the deciding game will probably be that Dundee away game. That could be the key one, but... you never know, but obviously we'll do our best to try to finish top in our group, but we know we got a couple of tough games ahead.
I guess so. You're also after the loss against the Edinburgh Capitals, and we're still on the road for a good few games more. You want to regain that momentum moving forward?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course you want to go and win every game, but it's easier said than done. I mean, we got a tough weekend next weekend going to Coventry away games, and they've been playing pretty well, and they've added new players to their roster, and a lot of teams have been adding two or three players and carrying a lot of imports, and so they always have a lot of guys available for their games in terms of the import quota. But we've been playing well with the guys we have, so we haven't been interested in moving guys around at all, and we come to play every night, and I think we just have to keep that same attitude. Come to play, work hard for 60 minutes, and see what happens.
You took the decision late on in the game against Fife to take Stephen Murphy out of the game when he was on a shutout, and put Andrew Dixon in. Is just to give Diggo ice time, or was there anything just to save Stephen Murphy from because of the long road trip?
Well, I think it was more Diggo. Obviously, the guys wanted me to put him in earlier. I chose to wait a bit longer, but then Fife, a couple of times they got in close on Murphy, tried to bump him a little bit, and I thought, it's just not worth the risk. Obviously, they were frustrated, they were at home, and they were losing, 4-5-0, so I thought, I'll just take Murphy off and give Diggo 5 minutes, and, he works really hard for the guys, and he's on the ice early, and he stays out late, and the guys really appreciate and respect him for the hard work that he gives the team every day, and so I just, I want to reward him and give him some ice time.
We've run into a bit of injury problems. Daryl Lloyd was taken from the game over the weekend, and Jeff Mason, I believe, didn't play on Sunday night either. Is there anything of real concern there?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure Mason will be back for the weekend. It was more precautionary keeping him out of the lineup Sunday. And Lloyd, I'm suspecting he'll be out for at least a week, so I'd be surprised. I would say he probably won't play this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, a quick note on these Gardner Conference teams, having faced two of them now, and we've come away a bit of a split weekend. This Gardner Conference is getting a lot stronger, isn't it? With Dundee doing so well, you've already mentioned how that's going to be a real marker going forward in the Challenge Cup. Edinburgh beating Nottingham and ourselves, Brayhead seem to be hitting their stride. It's a tough prospect travelling to Scotland.
Well, yeah, and I said that right off the start of the season, and no one was really listening to me, and I said, there's no more easy Scottish weekends. If you look at the lineups of these teams, I mean, they put together good lineups. Their budget has been increased for a lot of these teams, and so thinking that they're going to be a bit weaker than us automatically is not the case. I mean, some of their budgets are equal to ours, and they're, you know, they're putting some decent teams together, and Brayhead's going to be tough going forward. Dundee, you know, those are two teams that are going to compete for the league title this year on top of the great teams in our conference. So, you know, it's going to be a battle, I think, right to the end this season, and, you know, maybe 6-7 teams will have a shot at winning the league.
Before I ask you about this weekend to come, Paul, the you had a great event during the week there. We went over for David Clark's testimony in Nottingham, a great event and a great occasion all around.
Yeah, I mean, David got great support. A great crowd was there, and a lot of players flew back from Canada and from some of the guys from Finland. And so, he was really appreciative of all the people who came to support him. And it was a good night. It, you know, testimonials are not the easiest ones to put on a good show, but I thought overall it was a good show. And you know, the fans, you know, they. But, you know, they put their hands in their pocket for the game coming out and also bought up those sweaters from the testimonial team. And so I think overall David Clark has done very well, and I'm really happy for him. He's a guy who's put in a lot of years in Nottingham and has brought the team a lot of success. And for me, it's a bit special because, you know, I was the coach when we first signed him in Nottingham, and it was his first year as a pro at the top level under me. And it's nice to see a young guy like that who goes on to do well for many years. So, and he's a great guy off the ice, and that's, you know, for me, he's a quality guy, and he spent a lot of time going to schools and things like that for the club, and, you know, he's done it all, and he really deserved, you know, what he received on the night.
Yeah, it sounded like a great event all around. Some of the videos and some of the things have been coming out from various media outlets seems to have been a fun night. And I believe your own signed blazer went for a good price.
Yeah, well, you know, blazers are hard to auction off, to be honest with you. But they got a little something for it. I was surprised they got anything because, you know, most of the fans want the sweaters, you know. So I think, but still, there was somebody wanted to buy the blazer, and obviously you sign it up for them. And as long as they're happy, that's the main thing. And they get something from the night that they feel is special, and that's great. And I think it was just great to see because all the sweaters sold too, and some of the money fans paid for those sweaters was a lot, and it's amazing really that they spent that much, and just I guess it's their way of showing their appreciation for David Clark.
Looking ahead to this weekend, I say we've got two games against the Coventry Blaze, and that's always a difficult place to go. It's made more difficult with the prospect of Egner and Shea Guthrie coming back into the side. Great to have a player like Egner come back in, considering his medical troubles of late. But the Coventry Blaze are going to be a tough prospect, especially in the Sky Dome with two back-to-back games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have to prepare well for the game and really you know, get ready here because it's going to be tough. And I mean, we had a tough game in there. The first game we played there came out with a good result and credit because we battled back twice in that game to eventually take the point. So, we have no illusions. We know it's going to be a tough battle, two tough games, and it's a big challenge for us, and we'll look forward to it.
How is this long road trip affecting the team? You know, because it is back and forward every weekend now, and we still don't have a home game until early next month. Does it take its toll on the team, on yourselves, on morale?
Not really. I think we have a team that travels pretty well, and the guys get along and they have fun together and they enjoy each other's company. So, you know, if you take that in mind, it makes things a lot easier. Of course, we have hard games, and the travel is a little bit tiring, but you know, we try to have some days off to recuperate and come back strong for practice, rested. So, I mean, all in all, it's you know, it's going well. I mean, it's never easy to go on the road and win in this league, and we got four tough games here still this weekend and next weekend. And you know, we got to find a way to get some points. That's what it's all about.
And given that, just to finish off, the with it being such a long road trip and trying to get all those points and coming out the other side, if successful, a lot of other fans and other teams are already pinning the favourites tag on the Giants, considering their momentum. I guess it's far too early to even discuss that, isn't it?
Well, it's far too early to discuss. To discuss any of that. Like I said, we got some tough games ahead of us. Those four next are going to be tough. And you know, then our schedule, we have a lot more home games than road games coming up after that for a period. So that could be a good time for us to put a good push in the league. But we still have to get through these four here and find a way to pick up points and come out of this road trip, you know, with being still well placed in the standings.
That's great. Well, thanks very much for joining us.
No, you're really welcome.
And thanks again to Coach Eddie for taking the time yesterday on the phone to give that interview. Guys, quick skirt around the league before we move on to the eagerly anticipated every week Davey's Twitter questions. The biggest hockey rivalry in the world ever took place this weekend, as always. And it was a split series between Nottingham and Sheffield, both teams winning at home. One of the most notable points came out of the game in Nottingham, the win for Nottingham, which was pretty comprehensive. However, Brent Henley and the new guy Michaela have both received suspensions, two-game suspensions. Henley for his excessive roughness in an incident with Tim Spencer, and Michaela for a boarding call on Rob Dowd, I believe it was. Coach, you've had a bit of time to look at the incident in regards to the fight between Spencer and Henley. As have I, and it, despite what people think or what a lot of Panthers fans are shouting about, it didn't look great for Henley.
No, definitely not, Paddy. And, you know, we saw quite a bit of chats back and forward with a few people on Twitter, Owen Bradley from Nottingham, BBC, kind of saying he was adamant that Spencer threw the first punch. Well, I slowed that video right down on four or five occasions, and I'm afraid I just did not see any punch from Spencer whatsoever. Henley came off the bench, you know, on a line change. He came on with the absolute 100% intent. You can tell him the way in which he skated towards Spencer, but he came on with the intent of going for Spencer, who had just been offering out, I think it was Chris Murray that he was maybe offering out, and Henley came off the bench, went straight for him, and from what I could see, and I don't know if Owen Bradley had a different, or some of the Panthers fans have seen different clips to the one that we've all seen, but Henley went straight for him, got the hold of Spencer. Have to say, I thought Spencer went down a wee bit easily for a big guy himself, but, you know, Henley dropped the gloves, and Spencer still had his gloves and was in possession of the stick, and just pummeled the guy, and down he went. And, you know, apparently it took him a wee while to get off the ice, and then next shift he was out with a bit of a smile on his face after Henley had got chucked from the game. If that's true, I wouldn't be a massive fan of that at all. You know, you guys are well aware of what I think about tough guys in the league, and if you're a tough guy and you want to act a maggot, then you've got to stand up on occasions. And, you know, I think Henley is, you know, arguably the toughest guy in the league this season, and he's certainly a monster of a guy. I think he's 6'7", 6'8", and, you know, he's a big intimidating presence. But I'm afraid, like, if Spencer's going to run around acting a maggot, as I say, he's going to have to answer the bell. And, you know, it was I tend to agree with Maury Hansen again on his outcome with the two matches.
Davey, in an interview with our friend Owen Bradley, who's been on the podcast many times, Corey Nielsen sort of calling out Spencer for what he referred to basically as antics. Coach referred to him that he, you know, he seemed to be out with a bit of a smile or whatever, as is reported. But also stating that that Spencer didn't want to go toe-to-toe. I'm not so sure, looking at the video, how true that is, considering, you know, Henley was skating at speed for him. But Nielsen obviously unhappy.
Yeah, look, Nielsen talked about what happened on the Saturday night, that, you know, Spencer was mouthing the people and picking on the wee guys, as you know, for want of a better term. And as soon as Henley was off on the Sunday night, then he was back to the old business. As coaches said, if you want to act a big man, then you've got to take your medicine when it comes to you. And by Jove, he took his medicine. But, you know, Henley deserved the ban he's got. I would say Hansen's got it more or less spot on again. And if Spencer has any gumption about him at all, next time it happens, it'll go toe-to-toe, centre ice, and let's sort out who's the big man on campus then.
This is my umbrage a lot this season. You know, I have seen very little, you know, two big guys, two team enforcers. Like, we used to see back in the day, Dottie Wood squaring off with Paxton Shieldy, Barry Nightcar, Paxton Shieldy, Dennis Vial, Paul Ferrone, Dennis, you know.
Mike Ware. Dave Martin. Yeah.
yeah, you know, why are we not seeing that anymore? You know, if I was Corey Nielsen, I would actually be angry behind the scenes. I would be really angry with Brent Henley.
Because, oh, I would imagine, sorry, Coach, to bump in there, Coach, I would imagine Nielsen is absolutely livid that he's now, it didn't cost him the game on Saturday night, the one at Handsome enough, but he's the next two games, fair enough, they shouldn't be complacent against the Caps again, you would imagine, and then they've got a sort of stuttering Devils, but that could have been two games against Belfast or two games against Sheffield. You can see what it did to us when Keith missed big games against Sheffield, against Nottingham. Your big, tough players have to play the big games. And I'm sure Nielsen is absolutely furious about what went on.
We always refer back to it. I do agree with you, Coach. Not back to what you think I'm going to say, but the actual Cloutier against Carlisle Lewis.
I
always hold that game against the Manchester Phoenix up as a perfect example of how a hockey game should be policed by the players. You hit our lads, we hit your lads, and then our two lads will go centre ice and sort it out. And then Stauffacher and Morrison will go at it at the benches. But that was, you know, obviously what had happened was you had two very experienced players, two very experienced coaches in Courtney and in Hand, and they basically just said, okay, lads, you two go out and sort it out centre ice. They'll get their 5 minutes each and then let the game continue. As you say, Coach, it doesn't happen here. What Henley should have been basically going up to Spencer and not mugging him, which is what I saw there. Not mugging him. It's basically mouthing off to him and saying, listen, if you want to act the big lad, next shift, we'll drop the gloves, we'll go toe-to-toe centre ice, we'll take our 5 minutes, we'll get on with the game. What he did was he goes charging in, gets himself kicked out of the game, gets himself a two-match suspension. I'm sorry, if that was Adam Keefe, I wouldn't be best pleased as a fan. I'd be happy that he was basically showing guts to stand up for his for our team, absolutely. But you've got to be cleverer than that.
Well, two other points. Am I right in saying Henley was the man up in Fife at the start of the season who sucker punched a guy? You know, like, this guy is more than likely, from what we're told and from what we see, the toughest guy in the league this year. Why is he getting on like that? The other point that I would make, which I noticed from the video, which I thought was really poor taste, but maybe doesn't surprise me in some ways, was the announcer, I think, who may well be the GM, I'm not sure, but certainly the announcer, you know, as soon as Henley mugged Spencer, you know, screaming out his name over the mic and all the rest, you know, it was an instant, for me anyway, looking at that instantaneously, I went, this doesn't look right, you know, this guy has mugged Spencer here.
It's like a slap shot moment that.
Yeah, you know, it just didn't sit right looking at it. And, you know, I noticed quite a few Nottingham Panthers fans trying to defend it on Twitter and all the rest. And yes, Spencer probably was acting a maggot on Saturday night and all the rest. But we don't need to go over old ground. For me, that's Henley skates up to him during the warm-up, said, right, big fella, let's see you out here, first shift. Let's go, let's get this out of the way. Let's get the 5 minutes in the bin sorted. Let's go. Instead of this constant mugging thing, and that's what really surprises me. I'm sure Corey Nielsen's absolutely furious privately.
Of course, the two games that they'll sit out, as Dave mentioned, the game against the Capitals and a game against, I think it's the Cardiff Devils, because that will be the following week, because this weekend they're jetting off internationally for the Group D of the Continental Cup, where they'll face Asiago of Italy, Toros Neftekamsk of Russia, yeah.
Good lad.
Did I tell you? Yurdis Pavlodar.
Struggling.
Yeah, that was going on. And then the Nottingham Panthers were the only qualifier. I think it's Yurdis Pavlodar. They're of Kazakhstan. But yeah, they're in for the next round of the Continental Cup. Now, just quick question to both of you. Start yourself, Davey. An encouragement or a distraction for the Nottingham Panthers?
With the bodies they've been bringing in over the last few weeks, they're obviously trying to, you know, tool up for it. But for me, you know, I don't know whether I want them to get through so it's more games they have to play and, you know, ultimately get hammered in the next round, or whether I just want them to get absolutely embarrassed and humiliated and come back, you know, to face us the following weekend, you know, on a bit of a downer. At the end of the day, at this stage of their season, where it's, you know, things are slightly unraveling with suspensions and losses, it could be a helpful distraction for them just to get away from the grind of the Elite League for a week. But who knows?
Coach?
I tend to think if it was this time last year, it would be a really positive thing. I get the feeling if I was Corey Nielsen, I would be thinking of it as a bit of a distraction. You know, guys they're hurt up at the minute. You know, they're pretty beat up, the Panthers. Yes, they've brought in a few guys. Their new goaltender hasn't set the world alight by any stretch of imagination. I believe Kowalski was on the ice today for the first time in a while, but you know, he's not going to be fully match fit or anything like it, even if he does play. And you just get the feeling that, you know, they've guys like Eric Werner still to come back, and a couple of other injuries that, you know, I listened to something today on their website with Gary Moran, and you know, kind of saying there are more bodies in the treatment room, and just kind of get the feeling Nottingham Panthers are a wee bit beat up at the minute. And as a Belfast Giants fan, I'm delighted. I hope they go away. I hope they do well. I do hope they do well, but I wouldn't mind them being coming back a bit jaded from a Paddock.
Yeah, if they were to get to the super final, it's in Rouen on the 10th to the 12th of January next year, and already qualified for there are Rouen and Donbass Donetsk of the Ukraine, which are a very strong team. I think Rouen are past winners as well. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how well they do. If you want to keep in touch with that, Panthers Hockey Live on Twitter. I know Davey will be glued to that over the weekend.
Look, they're playing in my back garden. I close the curtains.
The quick note on the Cardiff saga. They brought in a new Finnish defenseman. I think it was this morning it was announced. But one other point of note is that in a game against Brayhead this weekend, there was a lot of fans chanting that we want G back. That rumbles on and on, Davey.
He ain't coming back. You know, I don't see where the way back is for him in Cardiff, bar Paul Reagan stepping aside, and I don't see him going anytime soon. You know, much as the crowd, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were probably the ones, you know, chanting for change. But, you know, we said a few weeks ago, be careful what you wish for. They've got the Pope in charge now. You know, not that one, different one. And it doesn't seem to be working out brilliantly for him. But they've brought in a guy here, Lippmanen, you know, looks the finished article. Six 6'2", big lad, you know, he's played up for Finland under 18, you know, he's gonna be a good addition to their D zone, you know. And he's more or less in to replace Jared Adams on the ice. So I just don't see now, you know, they're putting their jigsaw puzzle in place here. I just don't see a way back for Jared Adams, certainly at Cardiff.
What's strange about this Lippmanen thing is he's 22 years old, right? He's got a hell of a lot of experience behind him. He's had 36 games in the SN Liga, which is, you know, one of the Finnish top league and one of the top leagues in Europe. And then I read on down, and he's on a 1 month trial. I thought, to be fair, this guy, he seems like you say the finished article, for lack of a better term. But
as coach said earlier, Paddy, it depends who's asked for the 1 month.
Who's, yeah, you know? is it for him or for them?
May have asked for that himself.
Coach, your take on the whole G situation? I know there was a bit of a do for him last night, a roasting as it was with Finnerty, your mate Dave Sims, and a few others. he is going to be ever popular in Cardiff, but as Davey says, it needs to be forgotten about if you've got to back your team.
You've got to back your team now. There's no question about that. And, you know, it is what's been is gone. And I don't even think, I think even if Paul Reagan was to pick up the phone now to Jared Adams and say, listen, I've made a mistake, will you come back? I think Jared Adams, he comes across certainly as the type of guy that his pride wouldn't let him to even contemplate coming back. And it's so sad. And I know we've gone over this on a few occasions now in the podcast. It's just a really sad situation. The Cardiff Devils have always been a team that I've loved watching. One of my favourite away trips was to the old Cardiff Arena, and a fantastic atmosphere. They were in your faces, and it was an old hockey rink. And I've just always enjoyed the Belfast Giants Cardiff Devils games, and it's just quite sad to see the state that their club's in. And it really surprises me in a lot of ways. You know, Paul Reagan is a businessman first and foremost. He's not a hockey man, but you know, some of the decisions, some of the public statements that have been made are just, they're just cringeworthy and just nonsensical in a lot of ways. But then I can flip it on its head, and I've said this previously as well. At the end of the day, the buck stops with the man who puts the team together and who then coaches that team, and that is Jared Adams. And the team that he has put together, whether anyone wants to accept it or not, were not performing. And that was the team that Jared Adams spent all summer putting together. And yes, you look at their stats, you look at Faulkner, Blight, LaCosta, all these guys are quality hockey players, but it just hasn't worked for them. And, you know, in some ways, Paul Reagan's made a decision, said, this ain't working. We're ninth place here in this league, and, you know, it's time for you to go, G. So the decision's been made. You know, bringing Brent Pope in, who has no real coaching experience, judging by what you would read from previous Cardiff Devils players, not an overly liked man within Cardiff, whether that's right or whether that's wrong. And the fact that their head coach is now heading off for a month to the Olympics, it's just hashtag village.
One other point on the looking across the league is I want to just have a quick note about the Brayhead clan. 5 wins from the last 6, Davey. They're starting to get themselves together and become a bit of a major contender, do you think?
They've certainly, you know, didn't start the season on the road a lot, and, mm-hmm. you know, they've came back, and you know, they've got goals from, you know, they're not a bad side. You know, Finnerty has recruited well, Ed McGrain's going well, Joel Champagne, you know, is always going to be scoring lots of goals, and they've really tightened up at the back, so, you know, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward, certainly.
Coach, you're a big fan of Finnerty. We were talking about him last season a lot, especially with the trials and tribulations that he had at the Sheffield Steelers. He looks to have been getting it together now with Brayhead, and if they get it together so much that they start to outdo the Sheffield Steelers, well, there'll be a wry grin on his face.
Oh, absolutely, and that was actually something that he mentioned to me. I actually asked him the question, you know, did he at the start of the season, whenever the clan came to the Odyssey, and I did an interview with him after the game, or just before the game, sorry, and I asked him the question, you know, did he feel that this was just a completely fresh start? You know, what kind of enticed him to come to Brayhead whenever he had offers back in North America after losing his job in Sheffield? And he basically said the reason why he took the Brayhead job was, one, because he loves the UK and his wife's very settled here and all the rest. But he also said that this was his first real opportunity to build a team from scratch and to put his mark on a team. And, you know, he knew that there was not massive expectancy on him in the first season. But, you know, he was able to put that team together and kind of put his mark on it. And he maybe, for whatever reason, whenever he was at Sheffield, had to bring back certain players or whatever. Maybe that was a bit of an excuse from him. I don't know. But he certainly said that he felt a lot more at ease with this team. It was a team with no egos. And, you know, you can see that it's a hard-working team like that. That game at the Odyssey was, that was a game that Chris Higgins scored the winner with 6 seconds to go. And, you know, they worked their backsides off for 60 minutes. And, you know, that really epitomises the Ryan Finnerty that I loved watching as a hockey player. You know, he's a feisty wee so-and-so. And, you know, he worked his backside off every single shift. And, you know, that's epitomised, I think, in this season with his team.
And a quick note of congratulations to Craig Anderson, friend of the show. He's been a couple of times, and he I think this week received the role of media and publications manager within the Brayhead clan. As a man who's worked with Gareth Chalmers at the Newcastle Vipers, he's in for a tough run. Nah, I'm joking. Well done, Craig, and wish him well in that. Davey?
Yes?
Twitter questions time.
Ah, right, okay. Let's fire straight in. BFG14. Should the Giants sign an additional import a la Grant Crane from a couple of seasons ago? Just to have the backup of having that in the locker room?
It'd be nice, but you have to remember that when we did sign the additional backup, when we did bring in Ryan Crane, the budget remained the same from the previous year, and what had happened was that the league had dropped the import level down from 11 to 10. It's now subsequently been put back up to 11. So Ryan Crane was signed as cover, but our budget had remained intact. We're now back with 11, so it all depends on where. But like, it would be nice to have an extra import on the books. Of course, it would. It would develop that competition for places. It would, you know, keep the players on their toes. And if we did, touch wood, suffer any long term injury crisis, it would have a player there waiting in the wings just to step on. But it shouldn't be just done, you know, because we can.
Coach?
I agree with Paddy wholeheartedly there. The one thing that I liked about that situation with Ryan Crane was that it was very clearly specified, and Ryan Crane knew it. Rankin knew when he signed for the Belfast Giants that he was the spare import. He was the, you know, the next cab off the rank, so to speak. You know, so he came in knowing that. And of course he was going to push players for positions and all the rest. But I think, you know, whenever a player knows that, you know, so for example, like last year I remember Nottingham dropped Bruce Graham amazingly at one stage, you know, and he was not happy about that, and there was a lot of talk that he was going to pack the bags and leave. His wife hadn't settled at that stage and things like that. It can lead to a bit of discontentment if there's another, the other guys hanging about. So I think it's really important that if you do that, the coach has to be very clear with the extra guy that he's bringing in, exactly what their role is.
Suppose just to add, you know, right, what we have this season, I suppose, is the luxury that we have got an import quality British guy sort of hanging about there in the wings,
and
Craig Peacock that's been able to come in. Would it surprise you, coach, if I said Ryan Graham played 51 games this season?
Nope.
He was here injury cover.
Nope.
He was straight in off the bat, wasn't he?
He was straight.
Absolutely riddled with injuries. Hammy put on the other day, we've only lost 7 games. So far, 7 man games to injury this season. We've been fortunate now with Mace going down and Loiter going down. You know, we've had Craig Peacock can step straight in. Joel's on there earlier saying, you know, Gareth Roberts had a really good game. You know, we've got guys now, British talent, sitting waiting in the wings that can come in and fill those gaps. So I don't think it's as essential as it was a couple of seasons ago. But if we were in the sort of injury trouble that Sheffield and Nottingham have had this season, I think it would have been good that Paul Eady would have the budget there to go and pick another guy up for sure. Mm. Moving on, Ryan McBurney has asked, will Garside always be viewed as the sort of unsung hero on that third line with Keith and Lloyd, or will eventually come to the fore?
For me, I don't see him as an unsung hero.
No,
he's maybe an unsung hero in the team, but on that line, he is a pivotal player on that line. You know, his face-off wins are incredible. His work ethic is as good as Lloyd and Keith. Yes, you might see the more visible things, such as the forechecking of Keith and Lloyd. But like Mark Garside works as hard, if not harder, than those two guys as well. So for me, certainly not an unsung hero.
I thought it was very, not disrespectful, or just, I didn't like the way that Nigel Ringlam asked.
I agree.
And I asked Mark Garside how he felt to be, quote, the forgotten man of the third line. I don't think he is the forgotten man of the third line. When he came in from Edinburgh, when Doug brought him in, he was a great signing for us. He was a guy who was really shining in that Edinburgh lineup. He came into Belfast, and I remember a lovely backhanded goal he scored at Whitley Bay. He's a face-off machine. I'd love to see the stats, because if he's not our top face-off man, he's probably our second, because he's absolutely brilliant in the circle. So without him dragging that puck back, the third line can't really go on the check with the puck that they have. So, yeah, I don't think he's a forgotten man. I don't think he's a third wheel. I think Mark Garside is, well, once Dowd went, and until Peacock came back, and we've got Colin Shields in the top line, but he's certainly pushing to be an import quality Brit, and a real credit to the Belfast Giants.
I could not agree more, because you have both covered it very well. If we had 20 seconds left in a game and we were facing a 6-on-4 in our own zone, they've pulled their goalie, they've got a man on the power play up, and you had someone in the elite league to take a face-off for you, you had your pick, I would pick Mark Garside every time. The guy is a face-off specialist, absolutely second to none in the league, in my opinion. And I think credit that he's got a Belfast jersey on him.
The biggest compliment that I could bestow upon him would be, for me, he's as good as, if not even slightly better, and I would love to see the overall percentages on it, he's as good as Corey Carlander at the face-offs.
And coach, whose CD would you rather have? Sean Burns, Mark Arcago? What's your flavour, mate?
I've listened to neither, to be brutally honest, mate.
I want to put a request on Mark Garside to sing Back in Belfast. I want to get Matt MacIver to do the backing vocals that he did for Sean Barron, so we want a cover version.
Well, we'll see if we can make that happen for you, Paddy. Moving on, we Phil 56, Phil Armstrong. One player, dead or alive, money no object, can play for the Giants this season. Who would you pick?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mr. Hockey.
Gordie Howe?
Absolutely.
Very good. Coach?
Well, you know the type of hockey player that I love. I would love to see, in his prime, playing for the Belfast Giants, Milan Lucic. I just love that. I love that type of player, that franchise-type player, that guy that comes in. He can score goals. He stands up for his teammates. He knows when to play the physical game. He's just Milan Lucic just encompasses exactly what my favourite NHL team, the Boston Bruins, are all about. And I would just love to see that guy in a Belfast Giants jersey. So for me, and I know there's hundreds of better hockey players out there, but I just love the intensity that Milan Lucic brings to the game.
I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to you who I'm going to pick, Paddy, coach, but...
Ding!
Pavel Datsyuk.
He's untouchable. You know, wasn't last week. And, you know, he's playing against his peers in the NHL. He's playing against top-line D-men. He's playing generally against the top three forwards on the other side. And sometimes he's just untouchable. So for me, Pasha, Pavel Datsyuk in a Belfast jersey would be...
Have we ever had a number 13?
Davy Phillips.
Davy Phillips.
Of course.
But apart from that, I would have to check for you. And our last tweet question, probably one of my personal favourite tweeters, is Haley the Tiny. She's new to the game. Coach, we're going to come to you first. What is the best way to learn about the rules, regulations and history and about teams in hockey?
Ooh, that's a good question. I certainly from a Giants perspective, probably it's a very unoriginal answer, but go to the website. There's a very good stats section on there. There's a good history section. You can see a lot about the club and the history of the Giants and what have you. You know, obviously we've got our own stats man Alan Hamilton with the Giants. He runs a really, really good Twitter page, a really interesting Twitter page. So he does. So certainly from a Giants perspective, that's right. And some of the stuff that he tweets brings back so many memories and astounds me on occasion, some of the stats that he throws out there. So from that side of things. But to do with hockey in general, geez, probably your Paddy would be the best man to ask about that.
Paddy?
If you want to learn more about the Belfast Giants, you stay tuned to A View from the Bridge, the Belfast Giants unofficial podcast, or you go to kingdomofthegiants.com. No, seriously though, well, that is serious, but in addition to that, our good friend now living in Toronto, Richard Blaney, put together a fantastic website, giants-history.com, where, I don't think it's bang up to date because he now lives in Toronto, but he's been keeping it as up to date as he can. And it's got basically all the schedules, it's got the stats, it's even got a bit of a blog as to what happened that year. It's got the stats of the leading point scorers and penalty takers and stuff for the Giants. To be honest, I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I want, like, if I'm thinking back and trying to find out something, it's actually the first place I go.
It's bookmarked on mine, and I'm actually in negotiation with Ricky to try and take that over just to update it for him a bit, because he you know, obviously in Toronto, he's a bit out of the picture at the minute. So I'm trying to help him out with, you know, bringing that back. It's only one season behind.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's been a labour of love. He's been going for 10, 12 years, whatever, you know. Once you get a year behind, something you're 2 years behind, and everything that you've done then just becomes an archive rather than relevant anymore. So hopefully we can get it all right up to speed again. I would add, you know, to Haley, go and download the IIHF rulebook and just be a bit geeky, look through it, look at, you know, I love things like that. Go and pick an NHL team, but pick Detroit. And you know,
I concur.
Watch a bit of stuff, you know, if you can get Premier Sports, pick a favourite team because you get a better interest in it that way. Go and find some old DVDs in the Giants. Talk to me and Coach and Paddy, we'll hook you up with some DVDs from the old days. There's a few books about the Giants knocking about. There was one done whenever we won the ISL. I think Jeff Hood was on the front page.
Yeah.
Remember that book,
I do, and there was a video which we talked to Nigel England about last time I was home, which is basically a collection of every single goal that was scored for the Belfast Giants when we won that ISL title. There was a DVD or a CD with a couple of things and the rules and stuff where you had Paxton Schulte and Colin Ward messing about in the ice, trying explain the different types of penalties that you could take. There's a whole load of stuff out there, and I'm sure a lot of it's still available. So, and if we find out that, we'll tweet it up and try to keep people involved. But yeah, and don't be afraid to ask people about the place.
Correct. So I was just about to say, Paddy, I have something from. You know, whenever I first went to ice hockey, I didn't have a notion what was going on, not a clue, 13, 14 years ago.
When you first went?
And now, you know, throughout that period of time, I was never afraid to ask questions. I used to ask the guys all the time. I used to ask people beside me, you know, sitting wearing jerseys or whatever, and you could hear people talking about hockey. You know, I was never afraid to ask, why was that called? What does that actually mean? Surely that means that. And, you know, don't be ever be afraid to ask questions, because, you know, nobody is a complete and utter expert on it. And, you know, by asking questions, you'll find out the answers.
That's all my Twitter question for this week, guys. All the rest of them weren't up to scratch. Sorry, listeners. But tweet us again next week with some questions, and we'll get the answers from the boys for you.
That's it. At AVFTB and hashtag Davies Questions. We'll be calling back for them next week. I'm enjoying that, guys. I enjoy when they get the two questions in, I have to say. Okay, let's look ahead to this weekend. We've got a doubleheader against the Coventry Blaze in Coventry. Always a tough prospect, coach. We have a 5-0 loss to them at the Odyssey, and then when we went back there for the first game against them, we went 2 goals down pretty early and had to show a lot of character to get back into the game. They've brought back Shea Guthrie this week. Fantastic signing for them. And Mike Egner, a guy who had serious health problems at the start of the season. He was named initially as the captain. Unfortunately, he had to give that up when he went to deal with his own health problems. He's back. Amazingly, playing for the Coventry Blaze, and he'll be back this weekend.
Well, first and foremost, it's fantastic to see that guy back, because he was a warrior for them last year. I thought him and Shute were fantastic for the Coventry Blaze last season. But Egner was a real kind of standout physical presence. Didn't take any silly penalties, but he was in your face. He was a good puck handling defenseman. He was good in the transition. He was just a very good hockey player. The one thing that has really amazed me, I actually saw on his Twitter page about 6 weeks ago, he was saying he was out for his first run, and it showed you a picture of him before he went, and a picture, and I think it was only like a 2-mile run or something like that, and he was absolutely busted. And I remember thinking whenever I saw, that's brilliant progress, you know, happy days for the guy. And then like 5-6 weeks later, he's been hauled back into Coventry. I just wonder as to his level of fitness.
We all know that hockey players but a lot of them play injured, and a lot of them try to force themselves back onto the ice maybe before they're even ready coming back from injury. You'd like to think he must be passed medically to play, because it's quite a serious problem that he had, and for him to be coming into a game that's going to be as tough as this doubleheader against the Belfast Giants, and to play hockey and to train at all, it can't be anything more than 100% for this.
No, I agree, and I think the neurologist has obviously passed them off and all the rest and said you're now fit to play. You know, I just wonder about his overall physical fitness. You know, he's obviously, I saw a picture of him yesterday. He arrived in in Coventry yesterday, and he looks physically fit, which is great to see, but, you know, Matt's fitness is a completely different matter, and that is going to take a bit of time, and I dare say Matt Soderstrom will drip feed him back in with a few shifts here and there, but it's a fantastic signing for them. I hope his fitness does improve throughout the course of the season. I hope his health remains good as well, but their big signing, obviously, is Shea Guthrie, someone who was our captain last year, went off to Sweden. Did he even score a goal for Troja? I don't even think he did. You know, and I saw a few comments from him yesterday saying that he just hated the experience. It was a small town. There was nothing to do. There's only 3 imports in the team, and he just wanted out. And he had a few other options, but, you know, Mike Egner coming back into Coventry enticed him to make the move back to Coventry himself. He's a proven sniper in our league. He's someone that you always are looking out for. He's already got a goal under his belt already for Coventry. He scored a goal on Sunday evening, and, you know, he's a proven sniper in this league, and, you know, Coventry have just, the Coat Dog Christensen just got a bit better, and with those 2 additions, and we've got to be on our mettle again.
Divi, your take on the two returnees. Shea Guthrie, some of the best hands in the league, and it's obviously going to be a strength to them. The Coventry Blades themselves have been a bit hit and miss in the new Matt Soderstrom era, but two wins last weekend, they'll have a lot of confidence with these guys coming back into the lineup.
Well, first, as coach has already said there to Mike Agner, you know, fantastic to see him getting back to health and strength again, and you know, good luck to him and his continued battle to get back to full fitness. And Shea Guthrie's got that just intangible that you can't coach into people, which is speed as well as skill. You know, Guthrie and Agner coming back to them is two fantastic top end signings. They're now, you know, a force to be reckoned with. They're not going to be winning leagues, they're not going to be winning cups, but now they're a team that are going to be putting a spanner in the works of a lot of teams. And you know, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the webcast works on Sunday night. Hopefully my TV works on Saturday night. You know, I don't know if you heard, Paddy, I'll not be able to come. I broke my leg. But
you did not. You did not.
I did, mate. You know, so I'm not going to be able to travel.
Sorry to hear that, mate.
But you know, the game's obviously live on the TV this weekend. Murph, our good friend Murph's first show. So good luck with that. But yes, it's going to be a difficult place to go and visit. But hopefully we can come away with. You know, splitting that series on Saturday night's not going to be the worst result of the season.
Will be very interesting for me, especially with regards to likes of Edna coming back. Obviously, you know, he's coming back in given his health problems, but he was tough as nails last year. He's real, you know, a real tough player. Now they're missing Ben Olsen, who's going to be wearing a bow tie and sitting up next to Murph in the commentary box. Kevin Harvey, for all the big man antics that he seems to throw about against everybody else, has been anything but against the Belfast Giants, turtling and turning down Jeff Swayze and the likes time and time again. Coach, where do you think this is going to lead for the Coventry Blades? They're going to want to up the physical game, surely.
Well, it was always something that I felt under Paul Thompson's regime. Coventry always had skill, size and toughness. And they're always willing combatants. I suppose you could flip it on its head and say, is Harvey the Coventry Blaze equivalent to our Daryl Lloyd? Daryl Lloyd's a top niggler. He gets under people's skins. People drop the gloves with him and he skates off with a wee grin in his face and we're all standing up clapping him. Well, most people are. I don't. I just don't like that side of things whatsoever. But, you know, if Coventry are full strength, albeit Olsen's missing, but you know, they've brought in Egner and they've brought in Guthrie, there's more size and more goals there and more offence. You know, maybe Harvey will have the opportunity to drop the gloves. You know, I dare say people like Suarez and Keith won't be shy and letting them know that they're about on Saturday night and Sunday night, but you know, I'm not sure about that. I just hope that the Giants go in and play a similar type road game to what they did the last time they were in Coventry. And you know, I watched that in the webcast, a really good webcast from Coventry, by the way. If there's any fans I've never tuned into it, it's very, very good. And you know, I just hope we play that type of physical road warrior type game again.
I don't know. I obviously didn't really read up too much on how Coventry went or how Egner's return went at the weekend, but you know, this guy's coming off a real serious condition, you know, affecting the nervous system and you know, in his immune system. Is he? Obviously, he's been past fit to play, and you know, good luck to him. But you know, is he going to be that player still that wants to be dropping the glove and taking punches in the head? Is that's bound to affect as a human being apart from anything else?
I couldn't agree more with you. And actually, I noticed a couple of tweets flying around. I think it was actually Mike Shute sent him a tweet saying, you know, backing you for well over 100 penalty minutes again this season. To which Egner replied something along the lines of, "I can guarantee you it won't be." And, you know, you kind of then think to yourself, you know, is he already coming back in with the attitude, you know, I ain't going to be slamming people into the boards. I ain't going to be dropping the gloves. You know, I don't want to smack in the head. A smack in the head could set this off again or whatever it may well be. Because let's face it, you know, people sometimes, you know, unknowledgeable people to do with hockey sometimes say to me, "I'm sure it's all fake." You know, we know damn well it certainly isn't. And a punch in the head can be incredibly dangerous, irrespective if you have any preconditions already. And you know, it has to be, David. You're right. It has to be in the back of this guy's mind.
Take a look at Colin Shields' mouth after this weekend, or Craig Peacock last season taking a skate to the face to say whether it's fake or not. But I agree with the both of you. And one of my concerns is, Well, listen, when you make the decision to lace up those skates and step onto the ice, that is your decision. I really dread a point, maybe not against us, or maybe in another game, where Aitner takes a bad hit, or Aitner takes a bad punch, or something physical happens, and then everybody's in uproar, and you're going, well, this guy, you know, he's just come back from a major injury, he's coming back from a major illness, you know, you shouldn't be playing like that. If the guy has made his own decision to step onto the ice, and therefore he should be treated exactly the same as every other player in that Coventry Blaze lineup and every player in the Belfast Giants lineup. So it doesn't matter if he thinks he's going to be the hard man or if he doesn't think he's going to be the hard man. I would expect, if he's on the boards carrying the puck, I expect him to be checked through the glass, you know, regardless of it, because that's the game that you choose to play.
Oh, I don't disagree. What my point was more about is being a willing combatant and dropping the gloves, you know, is it time for him to do like a Mike Hoffman and step back? You know, I'm a big guy here, but I'm not really going to be a pugilist anymore. You know, I'm going to use my size to be a better D man. I'm going to use my size to be better going forward. I'm going to be screening the goalie more, whatever. I'm just not going to be involved in that physical stand up fighting style of play anymore. You know, it's just because he's asked the question, who's going to be the man to answer the bell for Coventry the weekend?
And what effect do you think, I'll stay with yourself, David, what effect do you think it'll have not having Daryl Lloyd in the lineup?
You know, he's as much to me the heartbeat of our team as his line mate Keith. You know, that line at the weekend is either going to be Keith, Lloyd being replaced with Peacock, or Lloyd being replaced with Roberts and Peacock being up the lines. It's just hard to know, you know. I'd much rather our team had Daryl Lloyd in it than not, you know, but it's just going to make for that. Somebody else is going to have to stand up and fill those boots.
Coach?
Yeah, I agree completely. For me, if I'm the coach of the Giants, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, actually, Keith and Lloyd are the two guys that I would be going to every March and putting a contract right down in front of them, and whenever they don't play, they you can notice it big time. Daryl Lloyd is one of those players that on occasions takes silly penalties, which can be very frustrating as a fan, but I tell you what, he draws a hell of a lot more penalties than he actually gives away, and his overall physical presence, you know, he just hits like a train, and as Corey Carlander said in that interview a month or so back, you know, whenever he's on the ice, every single player is looking about them, you know, they're not fully concentrating on, you know, taking the puck from the D into the offensive zone, they're constantly looking out for Daryl Lloyd, because that guy will hit you, you know, he just doesn't miss any checks whatsoever, and he's going to be a big hole for us to try and fill it the weekend.
Of course, this weekend, as we said, is the very first screening of Elite League Hockey on Premier Sports. So that will be on Saturday night, the game between the Coventry Blaze and the Belfast Giants. Murph, Ben Olsen and Paul Wheeler will be covering that from the Coventry Sky Dome. And on Sunday night, Paul Wheeler will move up into the Coventry box for the webcast of the Coventry Blaze. And you'll also be able to get Twitter updates from @AVFTB. Gentlemen, before I let you go, one thing popped into my head, especially considering that Shea Guthrie's come back to the Elite League from Sweden, is the release of Rob Farmer from his contract at the Alaska Aces, and now he's now looking for another contract and possibly to come back to the Elite League. Is this, now we've spoken about this before, we've had Craig Peacock come back, we've had Robert Dowd come back, the only player that seems to have had any sort of longevity in recent times, I know that Stephen Murphy went off into Europe for a while and he did pretty well, but in recent times the only guy of any longevity seems to be Ben O'Connor, who's playing out in Kazakhstan. Coach, I'll come to you. What do you think it is? Rob Farmer has had a few goes now, I think, and it's just not worked out.
I like Rob Farmer as a player. He's a gutsy, gritty hockey player. He plays with an intensity that I like in players that play for my team. I would love a Rob Farmer on my side, but he just never stood out enough to me to say that he was going to make a successful career of himself in North America. Let's not forget, he is competing against guys who, like local guys, he's competing against Americans and Canadians out there. He has to be better than them, better than those locals. And I'm just not convinced that he is. To me, people like Rob Dowd, David Clark maybe a few years ago, albeit he's still a top performer in this league. Murph has the talent. I'm sure I'm probably missing a couple of other guys out there. But, you know, we have three or four guys who really, really are stand out in our league as top performers, who I feel if they went and gave it the proper commitment and attitude, they could make a success of it out there. But Robert Farmer just was never that type of player for me. Maybe he's just one of those players that just escape my mind's eye at times. But he would be a good player to pick up. I'm not sure he'll come to Belfast. I would dare say he'll be in Nottingham.
Davey, we also had Davey Phillips go out into North America and give it a go at ECHL and AHL experience while he was out there, but it just didn't work out. With regards to Farmer and the wider hope for British players trying to develop in the elite league and trying to maybe further themselves into leagues across Europe and North America, what do you think it is that's holding them back?
One thing that's always going to go against them is just this. Coach has said the sheer number of available players of a similar standard, if not better standard, than what, you know, he was cut. Basically, Alaska had almost 30 players on their roster. They had to cut that down to 20, you know. Yeah. And he's just one of the casualties of war, unfortunately, you know, just due to there being players. He only played 4 games out of 13, you know. There's just better players than him, unfortunately, due to circumstances that Robert Farmer hasn't had the training and the coaching that all those players will have had from their knee-high to a grasshopper. You know, those guys have, you know, they've been doing this their whole life, and although Robert Farmer's probably been doing it his whole life too, you know, he's getting trained and he's not getting the same coaching and level of physical play and level of, you know, all the things that all those ECHL guys get that the British guys don't get. You know, we're very, very privileged that we're living in an era at the minute where we've got Craig Peacocks and Robert Dowds and Ben O'Connors and Farmers and Davey Phillips that could all go and make at least the effort. All these players are now at least going and making the effort to crack America, crack Canada, crack Denmark, Kazakhstan. You know, at least we're now getting a standard. The elite league development over the last 10, 12 years has now put British players in a position where 15 years ago, for any young Brit kid to go out to America was just almost unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 25 years, we've had Tony Hand and we've had Colin Shields, you know, that have been able to go to America and give it a go, albeit they've came back again. But now we're getting season on season better quality and more chances. So, you know, somebody will go and somebody will stick. But just at the minute, unfortunately for Robert Farmer, but like coach, I wouldn't mind him in a Belfast jersey too. Big hard unit, you know, but unfortunately for him, it's just been a numbers game in Alaska.
Mm. I actually feel sorry for him, Paddy, from the point of view as well, that Alaska have brought him out there, you know, put a contract down in front of the guy, and they've only given him 4 games. Like, 4 games. How long will he have played in those 4 games? Will he have played 10 minutes a game? So on the basis of 40 minutes of actual play, they're basing, you know, his career out there after flying the guy out that far. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, you've got to give somebody a real proper chance. And, you know, maybe it's something that they've noticed in training. Maybe they just say, you know what, this guy just ain't up to it. We have better local players here. You know, we've made a mistake here. But why go to that hassle of bringing a guy all the way from Britain to come out there if he's just not really going to be anything better? I'm sure they have a scouting system. Surely a scout would have said, listen, we've got better locals than this guy. I just think it's harsh on him that he's been given maybe 40, 50 minutes max on the ice to prove himself, and now they've said adios.
Well, I think you've also, just to finish off, I think you also got to take into account that his time out there is not actually going to be wasted. I don't think it's wasted time because he's going to be out there training, he's going to be out there developing systems with what is a high-quality team in comparison to what we have here. He's going to be training with people who are a lot, you know, of that higher standard, and that's going to better him as a player. I think he will come back as still a good player as he has been in the league in years gone by. It is unfortunate for him. But it will be.
Where do you think he'll end up?
I think he'll end up in Nottingham, given the amount of injuries they've had, and I could see him going straight for the Nottingham Panthers.
Is it for certain that he's coming back to UK?
No, it's not for sure. It's speculation.
He's only been waived by the Alaska team. There's always a chance that somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a punt on him. It's unlikely, you know. If as coach has said, he's only played maybe 30, 40 minutes in the season, so it's unlikely that he's going to get another chance. But, you know, the problem for the guys is, you know, you talk about Davy Phillips going over there, and, you know, he bounced about from Rockford down into the ECHL. And even when he was one season, you know, he was all over the place. He was Chicago, he's in Gwinnett, he was in Lake Erie, you know. For him, I'd love to get an interview. I'd love to see if he can line up an interview and see what Phillips says about his time in America and Canada. And, you know, was the reason he came back just too much chopping and changing, too many new cities, too much just hassle in the head, and just wanted it to be easier?
The other aspect of that farmer thing as well is, you know, if he he's done well, he's a good player in our league, he's gone off to North America, hasn't overly worked out. If he does come back to the UK and say he ends up at a Sheffield or a Nottingham being the prime suspects that are going to be looking for his signature, as he's already iced for them this season, where does he fit into their team? Does a Robert Farmer want to come into a successful team and play less ice or get less ice? Or does he want to go and play at a Brayhead again, where he'll get regular ice and be a standout player for them? You know,
that's the question Craig Peacock had the answer, wasn't it?
Yeah. But yet, for me, you know, Craig Peacock went off to a really good standard of a league, and I'm sure the Alaska Aces is a good standard, obviously, as well. But, like, Craig Peacock was... maybe I'm just looking at it from... I've seen Craig Peacock for the last three or four seasons now in Belfast, maybe longer now. And, you know, he's scored goals on a regular basis. He's been a top-end British player. I just never had Robert Farmer in that top bracket, whereas I did Craig Peacock. So I expected Peacock to come back and get more ice time than he is getting at present. But with Farmer, I'm not as convinced, but yet I would love to see him in the Giants uniform because of the style of play that he brings.
Always interesting when players like that are released and the speculation as to where they go. But anything else, John? Any Gander Flyers updates? I could talk about Ice Bar in Berlin if you like, but I'm sure everybody's bored.
Can you talk us through the video, mate? Talk us through what we can. Hitchie's video was absolutely different class, but the actual video was, how did that all come about?
It was kind of strange. What happened was, we went to myself, Dave Laurie, and Neil Whiteside, both guys who work for, you know well, who work for Giants Live TV, it went out to watch the games that Ice Bar in Berlin were playing against Alder Mannheim and the Nuremberg Ice Tigers. And after the game against the Alder Mannheim, I get a little tweet from Danny at Ice Bar in Berlin, basically on their Twitter account, saying, would you have any time available to chat to TV crew just about coming over? And it was put to me that it was going to be like a 5-minute chat outside the rink or in a nearby bar, and I was like, dead on, no problem. So she says, go to this place here, film crew will turn up and you can have a word. So off we went, we had a bit of breakfast, the lads turned up, Jan sat down and run us through it, and it turned out that what they wanted to do was chat to us at the bar, follow us all the way to the next bar, follow us all the way to the rink, and then film us while all the way chatting to me about why we were coming over and whatever. He chatted me a couple of times. Not all of that made the final edit, thankfully, considering I think I must have said it's a great atmosphere about 100 times. Plus, when he came up to speak to me at the end of the game, he actually got me to sing one of the songs, which I'm very glad was cut out because it was very embarrassing. But it was a bit strange, you know what I mean? They obviously, you know, I tweet about Ice Bar in Berlin quite a bit because I really enjoy watching them. And you've been over with us, coach. You know what sort of atmosphere you get over there. It's second to none. It's really enjoyable. But it was a good weekend. We got two wins. Consider how Ice Bar in Berlin were playing of late. They haven't with former Manchester Storm centreman Jeff Tomlinson taking over the reins from Don Jackson, who went on to Red Bull Salzburg. He hasn't had it really all his own way. He's come up from the juniors. He's basically trying to find his feet, and that Ice Bar in Berlin team have been struggling. But for two wins at home against Alder Mannheim and against Nuremberg, and a 6-1 win against Nuremberg, which was brilliant, a couple of shorthanded goals. Darren Oliver worked his absolute backside off. Brilliant, brilliant to watch. But and then the video happened, and then if anybody hasn't seen the not safe for work language used in the Hitchie read English redub, I've just shown it to Joanna, my girlfriend, and she was in fits of laughter, tears rolling down her face. It is very funny.
Just bar the four prostitutes, of course.
I can neither confirm nor deny that that happened. Davey Gander?
Not a great weekend for us, for our Gander Flyers. You know, we were playing top of the table, Cataracts, who are 6-0 at the minute. Two home defeats, unfortunately. Friend of the show, Patrick O'Brien, was between the pipes on Sunday and couldn't do anything more. He turned away 36 shots, you know, and unfortunately they went down 5-2. Pete Campbell got another goal. They keep his streak going for the Gander Flyers, but this weekend they're home and home series against the Western Royals, and the Royals are 3-2. So hopefully this weekend we can maybe split that series and get some points on the board, get climbing up the table a bit. So best of luck to all our friends in Gander there, and friend of the show Paddy, and we'll give them a tweet and let them know we're thinking about them.
# All-Star Flyers. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Cheers, Paddy.
Bye-bye.
A lot of people to thank tonight. First of all, Joel Neal, thanks for joining us and telling us all about what happened in the games in Edinburgh and Fife. You can follow him, as he said, at Joel Neal. That's at JoelNeill on Twitter. Give him a shout. It was a fantastic piece that he did earlier with us. Thanks again to Paul Eddy for coming on. Always great to have him on the show, and good to give us the insight of how the team are in this road trip. And, of course, thanks to you guys for all your Twitter questions. Keep them rolling in at AVFTV, # Davies Questions. This weekend, Coventry Blaze away, both Saturday and Sunday. Of course, Saturday is Premier Sports' first game of the Elite League. One game every Saturday night in the first game, Coventry Blaze against the Belfast Giants, face off at 7 p.m. But if you don't have Premier Sports, get yourself down to the Odyssey Arena, because McCool's will be screening the game live there. £4 in, I believe. Check BelfastGiants.com for further details. And on Sunday night, it's a 5:15 face-off. You can go to the Coventry Blaze website for their webcast. Paul Wheeler will be stepping off the Premier Sports coverage and back behind the play-by-play mic. And it's a great webcast that they have. If you can't get onto that, at AVFTB, I'll be giving a lot of Twitter highlights as the game progresses. And of course, at AVFTB is exactly the place to go for any way you want to get in touch with our show. You also drop us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, or go to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. We'll be back next week chatting about exactly what went on in Coventry and across the Elite League. But wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.